Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning, that the good Lord woke me up. Hallelujah! That the Lord woke me up this morning as I was sleeping pretty sound. But God, hallelujah, there is nothing too hard for God. He will wake you up out of a sound sleep and say, you got work to do. You, my child, have work to do, and I have work to do. Good morning, family. Please forgive your host for the delay, but God is good all the time, and I'm grateful that he woke me up and gave me another day. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't make it into another day, but I did, and I'm thankful for it. So good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. Give God some praise this morning. Father God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for waking me up this morning, Lord, for reminding me I have work to do. Lord God, forgive my oversleeping, but thank you for the peaceful rest. Hallelujah. Lord God, I lift this word up to you today, asking you, Lord God, to please increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words in my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. I got to say it again. You, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Without you, Lord, I cannot do this. And all I can say is thank you for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, with a pimp in my step and joy in my heart. But the joy, your joy, Lord God, is my strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for your son. And thank you for grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, believing, trusting, and thanking you. Amen. Whew, won't he do it? Won't he do it, family? He will wake you up. Oh, thank you, God. He tried to wake me up earlier, and I hit my alarm and went back to sleep because I didn't get to sleep until late this morning. And it wasn't because I was going through a moment. It's because I was working on a lesson and in some time of prayer with God. So I'm grateful that God put it in my heart to get everything ready early. Hallelujah. So let's get into our word this morning. We finished on Friday in Jeremiah chapter 32, which is where our title word is going to come from this morning. You know, and the word that God gave me, there is nothing too hard for God. Can y'all say that with me? There is nothing too hard for God. They were going through it. They was getting ready to go into captivity. Now, Jeremiah was in prison, but he was still preaching. He was still prophesying. He was still telling them what for. Oh, and buying property. Come on now. Don't tell me what you can't do when God gives it to you. Still buying property. And as I was going through on Friday, and I came to Jeremiah chapter 32, I just had to say, I give a happy birthday to my husband, my late husband, who is now in his heavenly birthday 12th year. So happy 12th birthday, Jeff. I pray that you are enjoying your time with God. Hallelujah. And that you're up there praying and playing in the band. Because I know that you and that trumpet, whew, that you right there hanging out with Gabriel, having a good time. Hallelujah. And I thank God that you are. So let's keep it moving, family. And again, I ask your prayers for Mother Rita, who is the mother of this show. She is in the hospital. And we need your prayers. You know, pray for God's will to be done. Not our will, but God's will. In Jesus' name. And the word of God that says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. But then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. But Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give the city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. You wanted that nice prophecy. You want that prophet to come over and tell you, oh, you're going to get $1 million. It's going to be wonderful. And God said that he's going to bless you with this. He's going to give you that. Prophesy. A prophet's going to say, God said you need to get yourself in order. You need to get some things cleaned up. You need to do some other things that you're not doing that I've called you to do. That's the prophet's going to tell you the truth about yourself. And if you're doing something you ain't got no business, he's going to tell you that too, because they're going to tell you all your business. So don't be real careful about wanting to run up to a prophet to get that prophet. Oh, well, I'm going to go in and see what the prophet has to say for me. Okay, go on. You might not hear what you want to hear, but you're going to hear the true prophet speak. Now, prophet lies going to tell you everything you want to hear, and then have a handout for you to give him $100. I'm saying it. Seen it. Not talking out of my head, but talking out of what I saw. And then this is what it goes on to tell us. So Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anath, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord. And said to me, please buy my field that is in Anath, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was an Anak, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Nero, son of Messiah, in the presence of my uncle, presence of the witnesses, who signed the purchase deed before all the sons who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Barak before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. But thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be first possessed again in the land. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Nero, I prayed to the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, please, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Is there nothing too hard for you? And I can answer that question, no. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of this almighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day and in Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself a name. Woo! As it is this day, you have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a long hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them the land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. When you don't do what God says do, you're going to have a mountain of stuff that got to get done. God will help you. But you're going to have a mountain of stuff to get done. And it says, they have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. Look, it has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fight against it. Because of the sword and famine and pestilence, what you have spoken has happened. There you see it. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witness. Yet the city has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am. Can I say that again? Behold, I am. You'll catch it in a minute. The Lord, the God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? Hey! Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it with the houses on whose roof they have other gods to provoke me to anger. Because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done other evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands. says the Lord, that this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from that day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, the priests, the prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction, but they abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Moab, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Whew. But thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them, and fields will be brought in this land of which you say it is desolate. Without man or beast, it has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. There's nothing too hard for God. And what God says he will do, he will do. And let's go to a life lesson this morning. And our title is coming out of Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah states rightly that God can do whatever he desires. And yet when it comes to his life, he wonders how, like us, in theory we agree, but in our own lives, yet nothing is too hard for God. Abraham had to learn this lesson in Genesis 18:14. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to learn this lesson in Luke 1:37. Peter and the other disciples had to learn this lesson in Luke 18:27. And so do we. There is nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah 32:39, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. Everything God does for us, he does for our good. He gives us a heart to love him, a will to obey him, and a spirit to fear him. For our good and the good of our children, God wants to bless us with all his heart and with all his soul, that is, with everything within him. Who can measure that kind of blessing? Who can comprehend it? But that is exactly what he has for us. Come on now. Is there anything too hard for our God? The answer is no. There is nothing too hard for God. God is in charge of everything, and God loves us more than anything. Praise the Lord this morning. There is nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. I'm just all filled up today, thanking God for another day, thanking God for his grace, thanking God for his mercy, thanking God for his love, because there's nothing too hard for him. Hallelujah. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Hallelujah. Put a pip in my... We're going to be a little bit over 8 o'clock this morning because we did not start until... Today we didn't start until 15 after, so we will use that time today, and we will go all the way into a little over this morning. So I am very, very excited today. Like I said, God is good, but we're not going to digress. We got to get some more word in because this is all about the word of God. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this word today. And as we go forth, the word is he, or hey. And it says, teach me, Psalms 119:33-40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Come on now. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. We need a reviving. We need revival is what we need in the Lord. So many times we get caught up in today when we need to get caught up in y'all. Whew, wow. Let your mercy, Psalms 119:41. Let your mercy come along to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Again, is there anything too hard for God? No. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinance. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies along before kings, also before kings, and I will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hand also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Hallelujah. Giving God glory this afternoon, this morning. I'm trying to preach today. And this is not my day to preach, but God has put it in my heart. Zion. And it says this, remember, starting at verse 49 to verse 56 of the 119th Psalm. Remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Woo, glory. Your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Praise the Lord this morning. And look what the Bible says about walking through the difficult times. You know, God will give you a word just for you. Journey through the valley are both inevitable and painful. However, they are also meant to be profitable. For example, trials can be times of discovery about God. When feelings of helplessness overtake us, he provides his strength to sustain us. Yes, he does. When despair tries to close in, he invites us to experience his peace and promise rest. In the midst of the clamoring pain, he offers himself as our comforter and protector. Other discoveries we make in severe crisis have to do with ourselves. Terrible times test our faith and reveal our true character. When a crisis first hits, most of us will respond with alarm. Then if our relationship with the Lord is weak, fear will increase as the pressure continues. Some of us will panic. Some will seek ungodly counsel, and others will blame people or God for the problem. Come on now. All of them folks listen sometimes. Firm and looking to the Lord. We also try to find a way out of on our own. Come on now. These are the signs of spiritual immaturity. Been there. Done that. Was very immature. Now I know. We don't worry. We pray. We don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. We don't allow the enemy to come at us with every little trick to say, why are you doing this? Shouldn't you do that? No, I should be honoring God, and that's what I'm going to do. I might have overslept, but God's word is going forth. Come on now. You might have thought that you was going to stop something, but you can't stop this. In the name of Jesus, we got to be bold in our faith and bold in our walk. Hallelujah. I thank God for restoration. Restoration of my heart, mind, and spirit to walk in the walk of God. By contrast, those whose faith is strong will move from alarm to trust over time. We see this in the faith of David as he writes, "Remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." David centered his faith in God's word and was renewed for it. We too must seek out the Lord through prayer and the word, remembering his help to us in the past. In this way, our endurance and confidence in him will build, and we will also believe his promises and trust him to keep them despite any evidence to the contrary. Is there anything too hard for God? I ask you again, is there anything too hard for God? The answer again is no, there's not. Let's keep it moving. Proverbs chapter, going back here a little bit. Proverbs chapter 27, verse, starting at verse 18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, but he who waits on his master will be honored. Verse 19, as in water, faith reflects faith, so a man's heart reveals the man. Oops, can we say that again? As in water, faith reflects faith, so a man's heart reveals the man. How do they treat other people? Do they treat them with love? Do they treat them with kindness? Or do they treat them with contempt? Watch, and you will see a heart. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. I won't, I won't, I won't. I'm going to get, I'm going to get, I'm going to get. And all I can say is this. Go ahead, because you can't take it with you. Everything you want, everything you have, everything you got will be right here for somebody else to enjoy when you're gone. So keep accumulating, because all it's going to be is income for the person that's going to be after you, because they're going to sell all your stuff that you so gung-ho about having and can't use. Come on, I'm just calling it like it is. And as we get ready today, we are about to get out of 2 Thessalonians. If time does not permit, We will not start our new chapter in a new book, but we will just work on Thessalonians. So let's go. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we do have a life principle from Dr. Stanley from 2 Thessalonians. So for those that are just joining moving forward, this is Bible study, and I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. It is my preference because I get the word a little bit. I think the word is easier to understand. And when I compare it to King James, probably the closest outside of NIV that reflects King James. So I like New King James. That's just my preference. But when I talk about life lessons, life principles, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. And so, again, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for allowing me to use this Bible. And, again, I am not paid by his ministry to hawk the Bible, but I will tell you, it is worth having in your biblical arsenal because, again, this is what we fight with. And the more you know, the more you grow, that there's nothing too hard for God. And you learn it in his word. We trust in the Lord today. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. The word. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. But you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how we should follow, how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, come on now. You know we done heard this before. You know you done said it, I'm sure, yourself. Now you know where it comes from. 2 Thessalonians chapter. If anyone will not work, you can show you eat. Come on now. You got to get up and go to work. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through the Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. There it is again. Another one of those scriptures you hear people always wanting to quote. Now you know where it comes from. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey your word, in this, so note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let's go back and do our life principle for 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which is the last word for this book. And it says this in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. And this is Dr. Stanley trying to give an an overview of his ministry. He says, prayer is life's greatest time saver. And he talks about, he said, when his family first moved to Atlanta, he couldn't seem to find the right house. It took us more than a month before we found a house we felt good about. In the meantime, we had been living with friends. As you can imagine, we were ready for a place of our own. We prayed and applied for a loan. We asked God every day to get the loan approved. We really believed he would. We thanked him in advance. 1 week later, the banker turned down our loan request. What a shock. I just couldn't imagine why. And we couldn't understand what God was up to. Why didn't he answer our prayer, we asked. God answered our prayer the next day by sending a tremendous rainstorm. The basement of the house we almost bought flooded with a foot of water. We had planned to use it for a study and for storage, but God was watching out for us. Come on now. 1 week later, we found the right house, and we enjoyed living there for 8 years. Prayer not only spared us a lot of trouble, it saved us a lot of time. God's answer seemed like a delay to us, but in fact, it kept us from wasting countless hours trying to fix a defective house. Prayer really is life's greatest time saver. Jesus spoke of this relationship between an apparent delay in God's answers to our prayers and the fact of how it actually saves us time. In Luke 18, he told a parable to teach us that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What does it sound like a passage on our prayer at same time, does it? Yet, story Jesus explained his point like this. And shall God not avenge his own elect who carry out day and night to him, who cry out day and night to him? So he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Did you catch it? God may bear long with us in our prayers, and yet he committed to acting on our behalf speedily. That means that prayer really is life's greatest time saver for God. Because I say again, is there anything too hard for God? I know sometimes we're in pain. I know sometimes we go through. I know sometimes we get bogged down in depression and all kinds of addictions. But God is going to be there with you. He's going to go through it with you. And he's going to bring you through. Not one moment sooner, not one second later, what may I feel like? A delay to us is actually God's tremendous amount of wasted time. And then Dr. Stanley says, in 1971, our church television broadcast was taken off the air because of conflict within the church. After we resolved the conflict, we asked the same station if we could be rescheduled at our prior broadcast time. It refused. We offered to buy time on the station, but it refused their request as well. We believe God wanted us on television, so we prayed that he would once again allow us to begin television ministry. When we started praying, we thought something would open up soon, but it took a year before anything happened. Eventually, two stations offered us a spot in their weekly programming. One opportunity led to another. Till today, our service is broadcast by In Touch Ministries. Come on now. Throughout the world, God didn't answer our prayer to be put right back on the air for a reason. He waited and provided us with something much better than we asked for. Many young people pray and pray that the Lord will send a marriage partner as they enter their late 20s. Many question God's answers. They wonder, what is God waiting for? He may be waiting till he knows they are ready. What seems like a delay to them is actually sparing them without days, months, even years of heartache. As I reflect on my life, Dr. Stanley has an awesome life. I realize that if God had answered certain prayers according to my timing, I would have missed the best in every case. I agree. Imagine for a moment, 5-year-old who wants a pocket knife and a flashlight. A good father might not mind giving the knife to him, but the boy needs to grow up a little before he can be trusted with it. In the same way, God waits for us to grow spiritually in some areas before he gives us all the spiritual and material blessings he has in store. God will answer our prayers as soon as it is death, not one moment sooner or one second later. This is why prayer really is life's greatest time saver. God is so good, and he always is at heart. There are times that we want to tell God what to do, times where we want to act like we know more than God does, but we don't. We don't know more than God. We can't do more than God. We've got to wait on the Lord because God is in charge of everything. He's in charge, not me, not you, but God. And as we go through some life lessons from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says, we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. When the word of God is preached, some accept it and some don't. It always been that way, and it will be that way right up to the end. It is perfectly legitimate to pray for protection against those who reject God's word. Because we know, as men and women of God, God's word is true. He don't lie. He always is truthful. God's word is always true. I can say it now, and I'll say it later. God's word is always true. God loves us. He wants the best for us. And he wants us to know that he cares and that he wants us to continue walking in faith and not in fear. As we go into this day today, remember who you belong to. You are a child of God, and he wants the best for you. He wants you to be the best you can be. He wants you to be the best that you can be. We're going to go a little over this morning, so just please stay with me. I know it's 8 o'clock, but we're going to continue until we finish this Thessalonian lesson. And then on tomorrow when we go into Jeremiah, we will go ahead and go into a New Testament book in 1 Timothy. So we will be in 1 Timothy on tomorrow as well as our Old Testament words. And as we continue in this finishing up 2 Thessalonians, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. This verse notes two critical items necessary for spiritual growth. First, we must meditate on God's love for us and become increasingly convinced of it. Second, we must focus on Christ's return and wait patiently for it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, if anyone will not work, neither shall ye eat. Paul does not give this instruction out of anger, but because this guideline, even though it may sound harsh to some, stands the best chance of moving lazy Christians to a place of God's blessing. You got to work in the kingdom. You can't just come in, sit down, plop down on Sunday and think you did something. And then looking around and seeing folks working and talking about them. Well, they are always trying to do everything. Well, what are you doing? What are you volunteering to do? What do you want to do? Are you going to work for the Lord? Are you sitting, complaining, and talking about everybody else? God wants us to go to work. It's time to go to work. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The goal of all discipline ought to be restoration. God wants to bless us, not judge us. And sometimes the best way to move us into a place fit for blessing is to make us uncomfortable for a while. If you're feeling uncomfortable, the shoe is fitting. I know that I was in training on yesterday, and there was a lot of tight shoes coming out. I had to take mine off because they got a real tight all up in my affairs, but I thank God for a breakthrough. I felt the breakthrough coming my way, I felt the move of God, and it made my day. Hallelujah. So I thank God for you this morning. Again, we will go into 1 Timothy on tomorrow, God willing. We'll be back in Jeremiah. So we will be starting in 1 Timothy chapter 1 on Monday. We will start actually in the New Testament tomorrow, and then we'll go back and get our Old Testament word in from Jeremiah, or we may not. Whatever God leads me to do is what I will do. So again, thank you so much, family, for joining me this morning. And forgive your host for oversleeping. It's a day, but I know God has got me, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to be all right, and my children are going to be all right, too. But I just want to give this one word today, and it's coming out of Romans 14 and 19. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Father God, you are the Holy One. You move and I am awestruck. You fill me with wonder every time. God of mercy, you freely give away your love to all who would let my heart always stay aware of the richness of your love, letting it change me in every stage of my life. There is no one like you. You love me to life time and again. I want to look like you. You build pathways of peace and entryways of encouragement. Let my life reflect you. May I be a peace bringer and a mercy swinger. Let my words reflect the grace and love which you so willingly lavish on your people. There isn't another who so freely gives out of abundance. I don't know anyone who gently gives away the best of the house continually and never runs out. Let me live with the knowledge that I can always offer mercy, peace, grace, love, and joy because there is an endless supply available to me. Your resources don't dry up and they don't run out. I won't hold back. And that is my word for today. I won't hold back. Praise God that's with me today, family, and thank you again for staying with me a little over as your host is getting ready to go to so much family. I appreciate you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. Once in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carol, this morning. And again, prayer changes everything. Are you keeping God first? Are you allowing him to love on you? And are you loving on him back? Praise the Lord with you this morning. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Trust in God today. Trust in his grace today. Trust in his love and kindness today. And knowing that I am loved by him because he loves me back. Hallelujah. He loves me back. And I'm thankful. And he loves you back, and I hope you're thankful too. Praise God, trust God, and allow God to work in your life. I do not have Sister Carolyn's word for today, but I do want to say thank you. She's a family is going through. As you all know, Sister Carolyn and Mother Rita have been with me since day one, and her word goes out every day. Because that's what God gives her. I haven't gotten the word for today, but I just leave with the word from Friday. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. And I like to ask, is there anything too hard for God? And the answer again is no. Thank you so much, family. That is a wrap. I love you all. I thank God for you. thank you for hanging in there with me a little bit over time. And join me, please, tomorrow morning. Call a friend, tell a friend to dial 213-943-3597. Or you can come and catch me on Facebook. Or you can, under Minister B Talks Word. I'm on Instagram at Minister B Talks Word. I'm at Twitter at Minister B Talks Word. So thank you so much. You're going to have a whole lot of words, because that's what this blog is all about, the Word of God. Thank you so much. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And if they don't open the Word of God, check up your word and walk out and find one that does. And make sure you take your word, so you make sure it's in context. Thank God for you. Thank God with you. And continue to lift up Mother Rita, Sister Carolyn, and their families. Pray for them, for God's will in their life. Sister Carolyn's cousin and Aunt Rita's nephew, Will, has passed on. And so the family is going through. And again, Mother Rita is in the hospital, and I ask your continued prayers for God's will in Jesus' name. Again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and highly favored, and know nothing's too hard for God. Keep trusting in him and watch him work in your life. It's a wrap.